We give respect to your name, to your word, and to your spirit. Hallelujah. Father, we count it a privilege to be in this place at this time with this people, this group of men, in purpose. Hallelujah. Father, I believe, Father, for impartation of strength into every man. Lord, we would leave this place stronger than before this weekend. Father, moving forward in your calling and purpose for our life, Lord, we just rejoice. Your Holy Spirit shall do it. Work in us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to get right into word. We'll do some announcements later. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, appreciate everybody turn off their cell phones or make them be quiet. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to go to 1 John 2:14. And word rose up in my heart for here while I was in Nigeria. So it's been stewing on it for a couple of weeks.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. And I have felt establish a theme, or just put out a theme, not that the other speakers are bound to it, but it'd be strong men in tough times. As men, we need to be strong. I mean, even in the world, people associate strength with men. Men should be strong. And as men of God, we need to be strong in spirit, not just in our soul and body. Amen. 1 John 2:14 says, I have written unto you, fathers, because you've known him that's from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because you're strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. We read again, I've written unto you, fathers, because you've known him that's from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Now, everyone runs into some tough times in life, and then there's tough times all over, so to speak. And whether you're in that now, or will be in the future, or have been in the past, we need to be strong and getting stronger. Some would say, you know, that in these end times we live in, that there's some extra tough challenges coming to us. And I believe one can see that in just looking at the world. Although, if you're walking in Christ, you may not necessarily notice. Sometimes people are in the midst of something they don't even really know. I've heard people tell me that they grew up in the Depression time, and they didn't really know they were poor. They didn't really know bad things were going on. I remember Dale telling me one time in Siberia, there's people didn't even know that was communist. I mean, life went on. Is that right, Dale? I remember you telling me that. I mean, they didn't know, you know, what everybody's just barely surviving. Some probably didn't even know there was World War II, for all that matter. But sometimes, you know, you're in the midst of tough times, and you don't necessarily even know it. I remember being about 8 years old. My parents took us to Puerto Rico with them on a vacation. And on the way back, something happened with the plane. And an engine or something went out. And they say, you know, they were dumping fuel and they were afraid it was going to crash and all this stuff. They're dumping fuel in the ocean because they're going to have to put it down. And you can't land a plane that's full of fuel. I was asleep. I never even knew. I woke up and we're back in Puerto Rico. You know, it's like, oh, we got on the plane, left, Dad. But I never even knew. You know, you can be in the midst of tough times and live in a place of victory where you're like that. You don't even really realize you're going through anything. Or some people can be under a little bit of pressure and they're falling apart. It's not about being oblivious. It's about being strong in the Lord. Amen. Well, he says here, I've written to you, young men, because you're strong. which is synonymous with being a man, actually a young man. And we begin to look at what's going to make you this way. He said the Word of God abides in you. Well, this is so basic. I don't mind preaching basic all over and over again. You ever get tired of hearing John 3:16? You don't know what it means. But we must be strong in the Word. And it is easy to get lazy about some things because, yeah, I know that. It's easy to get lazy. When you work hard physically, you have to eat a little more than the other guy. I remember when I was out of high school and working masonry work, being young, I had to eat like the proverbial horse to keep weight on. And the guys would tease me, it'd take the whole half hour for me to eat my lunch. They knew when the 30 minutes was up because that's when I got done eating. And my one boss, his 16-year-old, worked with us one summer, and he said, if I see you eating like that, I'll kick your, you know. Because, I mean, I had to eat, but I was burning it, man. I was burning the energy working like that. And the more you're putting out, the more you have to eat for your spirit, man. And if you get sloppy about feeding yourself, you'll get weak or sick. You know, people, as they get older, you know, a lot of times, and if you're convicted, so be it. We can all get convicted on this. But we can get lazy about our health. We can take things for granted until you get socked along the back of the head with an issue because you weren't being diligent. You weren't, you know, continuing to realize, I've got to stay strong. Amen. You know, you're doing a physical job, it's in your face. I mean, you got to keep your energy. You got to keep being able to keep moving. Amen. Well, we have work to do. Therefore, we have to be strong to do it. Amen. So we must be men of the Word. And in saying this, it may be that some of you need to make a renewed commitment to spend time in the Word of God. You might say, well, I'm too busy. Then you need to change your lifestyle. Sometimes the too busy thing, we're busy with things that are nice, but there shouldn't be the priority. And then we wonder why we're struggling. I'm not saying I read your Bible all night. I'm just saying you need some time to feed yourself. Some time in the Word. Praise God for things like this where we get saturated. Now, we just had some saturating rain. I think more than what the farmers like. But there's a time for saturation and there's time for showers. And the farmers went saturation in the early spring, and then that water's in the ground table through the summer. They still need some showers. We all need, you know, some showers, but praise God, there's times for saturation too. And make a place for that. There might be sometimes the Lord would lead you, take all day in a word and prayer. Because you're going to need it. Amen. We are strong because the Word of God abides in you. Is it continuing there? Are you living there? It's a place you live. You live in His Word. And it says, and you've overcome the wicked one. We must be overcomers. We do have an adversary, the devil. We have the flesh, and we must be overcomers. Now, here's the thing. I want to bring this up. If you're in a time of pressure, all your focus needs to go to the thing at hand. And if you don't have victory in certain areas, the devil can just pull you away from what you need to take care of and what you need to do. Our enemy studies us. We'll try to find your weakness because he knows coming head up, face up on you, you'll knock the tar out of him with the name of Jesus. But he's going to study your weakness, study your vulnerability. So we must overcome, giving no place to the devil. No place for him to slip one in on us and finding a weakness there. So we have to overcome. Don't wait until you're knocked down to make a decision to start to get strong. That's better than not at all, but we need to do it today to avoid getting knocked down ourselves. Being strong will come from the Word of God. And sometimes people just try to skirt around that, but we must be strong in the Word. Amen. God's Word gives you strength. Now I want to proceed to another point here, and that is you have to have a God attitude. I said a God attitude, not just a good attitude. A God attitude, because just a good attitude, you could be overcome just being positive thinking. Because what if there's no hope in your mind and you're just trying to be positive? Your positive words have no basis. But to have a God, how's God see it? A God attitude. Because however he sees it, that's the way it is. It's not the way you see it in the natural, the way God sees it. And we need to see challenges and adversity the way he does. This, you know, thing. I love preaching on a subject of strength. I'm going to be more preaching to you than teaching. Just bear with me in that. Or receive it. Don't bear with me. Just receive it. Proverbs 24:10 says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. There's a couple things that will show you who you are. One of them's how you act under pressure. Another is how you act with nothing required of you. And when you're by yourself, I mean, you really know the truth about yourself. How are you when you're by yourself? There's no demands, there's nothing. What do you do? Where's your mind going? What do you do under pressure? And it's easy for us to always overestimate and overvalue or you just think we're beyond where we are. We're stronger than what we are. Most men are inclined that way. Think a little more highly of themselves, you know. And we're in trouble if we begin doing that. We need to realize that without Christ, I'm in trouble. And there's a principle, you're a servant to your source. Whatever's your source, you will fear losing. I'll tell you what I fear not having is the hand of God in my life. You know what that makes you do then? Makes you pay attention that you're in obedience and you're not in sin and you're, you know, walking with the Lord. I can't afford it. Neither can you. But I know I can't. So I'm not afraid God's going to forsake me. That's not what I'm saying, because he won't. But I can remove myself from his hand. Protection, his hand of blessing. Amen. Corruption's all around us. We need his hand upon us. Amen. Well, we need to have a God attitude in dealing with the things that come at us in life. In James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4, familiar verse. James 1, 2 through 4. James says, count it all joy when you come into divers temptations or tests, trials. Knowing your trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. A God attitude is when the adversity comes, you react to that negative in a positive way. We see it as an opportunity for the God that we know to be who he is. I've shared this before, something that went into my spirit in a powerful way when I read Ever Increasing Faith by Smith Wigglesworth, which he actually didn't write anything. People just wrote down his messages. And he said, a man of faith sees everything as an opportunity. Adversity is an opportunity for God. Amen. Adversity is an opportunity for God just to be who he is. You have financial need? I have financial need. Hallelujah, Jehovah Jireh. God, you can just be who you are in my life right now. You have need of healing? He is Christ, the healer. You can just be my healer right now and be glorified through the testimony of what you're going to do. Now, the other side of it is, oh, no, I'm dealing with this. Oh, no, we need money. Oh, oh, man, this again, or I have to deal with this. How do you react? The natural man will always react in that negative way. The natural man doesn't want to have problems. Well, you might as well get beamed up now, because that's not reality of earth life. And sometimes people come to the Lord and they think becoming a Christian means everything will just be fine. There's no problems. It's a rose garden. Yes, it is. And roses have thorns on them. Remember that. But life's going to have its challenges. And we have to guard our heart that we don't ever allow a mentality that I don't want to have to deal with it. I'm tired of it. That's the voice of that. I'm tired of this. This again? Why am I having to deal with this? You know, things like that can come out of someone's mouth. I can't take it anymore. That's a voice of defeat. Yeah, maybe you can't. Your ability. It's good you know that. Yeah, you're in a good position. When you can't, God can. When you give up and give it to Him, then He can. But our flesh never likes to be in this position. We recoil at it naturally. Try to get away from it. And people try to escape problems. And that's one of the things that leads so much to addictive behavior, to find an escape, be it alcohol or drugs or sex or TV or donuts or whatever it is, finding some escape. But we need to rise up strong, face it head on. That's being a man of God. If we don't have the word in our heart, we're not going to do it. We need to keep right at it, have this kind of attitude that, well, my faith's put to the test because of the one who lives in me. I'm not afraid of it. Bring it on. Now, that's as we know God for who He is. We're not recoiling. Once you're on your heels, somebody's in a boxing fight, if somebody's on their heels, they go in for the knockout then. You can't throw a punch falling back. I mean, what kind of, there's no power in it. Your legs and your hips would have to go into that. You cannot be backtracking. You cannot be on your heels. Might say, what if I just got knocked down? Just cry out to Jesus. He'll pick you up. Just like He did Peter out of the water when he's sinking. You can't lose with Jesus. The only way you lose is to quit. And quit can't be in our mindset. Amen. We need this God attitude that as I am put to the test, I develop consistency and perseverance, and that's strength in action. I will persevere. I will move forward. Now, please hear me correctly as I'm exhorting you and preaching you. I want to bring a word of encouragement with this, that if as in some things I've said, I'm sure all of us could identify sometimes, well, we were on our heels, we wanted to escape. So don't get in condemnation, but rather allow yourself to be challenged, to have vision, that I'm going to rise on a higher level. See, that's how you have to hear it. All of us can hear what I just said a moment ago and think, oh, I came up short. We all come up short. You already joined the club of being a human. Okay? But we need to hear it right, that I want to first set my sights on rising to a higher level, being a man of God, to be strong, face adversity, and move forward. Now, sometimes people have to face adversity just to survive. And I always marvel. I like to read and hear stories of things, survivors. And I think one time period has always fascinated me. It's like the 1930s and 40s. With the wars and how people survived in those war-torn European countries and Asian countries. What they did just to survive. And I like to be challenged with that. Judge myself, you know. And some people, they'll do things because they're a survivor. Russia's a survivor nation. They just think survive. They don't think into the future. How about Dale? If they can just take your money now, rip you off as a business, they don't think about you coming back. Survivors do that. Just trying to get by today. Well, some people might persevere because they're a survivor. But that's not what I'm talking about, victorious men of God. We're not doing it just to survive. But we want to do it to please our Father. We want to fulfill His work and call for our life. There's work to do. There's people depending on you. There's people whose lives may depend on your obedience. All right. Well, having a guide attitude about things. It is very easy to get in this negative reaction mindset, to be on the recoil, on the defensive. And again, once you start that, you're going to be living with dread of what's around the corner, what might come up. You can't watch the 6 o'clock news. Of course, now they have 24/7 cable news. But back in the old days, it was the 6 o'clock news with Walter Cronkite. But some people avoid hearing things like that, thinking, well, I'm spiritual, I just don't pay attention. That's reality, man. You putting your head in the sand doesn't change what's out there happening. And we need to be able to hear things and take a hold of it. On purpose, we're going to bring change in a positive way. To have an attitude. See, we are in these end times, and the Bible does say things are going to get worse. I think they have been. It will continue to. God said it be that way. He knows what He's talking about. One thing in particular, and I remember in 95, I believe it was, the Lord ministering to me prophetically that terrorism is going to be a thing of the future, and we're going to see it in our country. And in 2011, that hit home. And we're going to see more. I don't mean to sound negative. This is just reality. Just reality, okay? The devil is merciless and will use whatever means possible to destroy man and to bring people into bondage. And we don't really live under that cloud here too much. I mean, as people maybe sort of do some. I mean, you wouldn't think of that happening in York, right? At New York or D.C. or something. When I was just in Nigeria, Ema, before I went, sent an email saying, well, I'm hiring police officers who will escort you everywhere. I read it to my wife, said, why he say that? Why is he doing that? I don't know. But I didn't really, wasn't bothered one way or the other. But when I got there, he began to tell me that they were having kidnappings and violence and terrorism in Aba. And, of course, they don't mess around. They call the army in. They killed like 1,000 of them. Just found them, sawed them out in the villages and blow them away to save the trial and all the money. But it put a lot of angst in the people. And me being his guest, he wanted to make sure I was taken care of. And so I had two uniformed officers with AK-47s go with me everywhere. I felt kind of strange, you know. I mean, in my mind, I always had better than that with angels going with me. I mean, I never really thought about it, you know. But he wanted to, you know, I never heard what was going on there. Maybe he thought I'd be concerned, wouldn't come or something. I don't know. But it did have its little perks. You know, we went into the airport to come home. Nobody hassled me. Right to the front of the line. Marched right up to first class. Lounge, now I was flying economy. I was like, these my boys, you know. You guys can escort me right to Lagos. But, you know, you have sometimes places, I'm sure they never thought that would happen like that there. And the body of Christ sometimes goes through some stuff. And Brother Israel and Chennai's death threats. Since he's, has his own TV station and all that stuff, because the gospel's going out. And he just said, hey, Brother Bill, pray for me, don't even bat an eye. But here, that's not in our zone so much. People here are worrying about finances. We got more money than anybody else in the world. And people are like freaking out. Okay, well, regardless of the adversity, we have to be strong. And you don't know what else coming down the pike next. You know, some stupid flu or something. Or some, you know, people, fear and panic can set in the world so strong. And it can overtake you. But we've got to be strong in the Lord. Those are opportunities to be a light like nothing else. If you have peace in the midst of that storm, people will know you can't fake that because they're losing it. Amen. Yeah, rah, rah. Right. We need to keep a proper attitude with adversity. Now, you can have tough times because this thing's personal, or we can all be going through it together at the same time. And we have to rise up to a higher level. If the body of Christ doesn't, who's going to? Okay. You know, there's times somebody else is depending on you and you don't have a choice. You must rise up and be strong. And as you're involved with other people, it mandates it of you. In your own heart, it requires it. You know, you have a family. You've got to be strong for your wife. You've got to be strong for your children. That was just kind of stirred in my mind the other night. Last night. Is that last night? All the rain? Night before. Well, we've had a little crack or so in our foundation. And I don't know if that earthquake made it worse. But man, we have water coming in our basement. And Donna's studio is down there, and she has her stuff and her carpet and all that. And the day after I got back from Nigeria, we bailed water till 6 in the morning. And I was so jazzed, I thought, man, I'm ready to preach at church. We can't cancel church. Yeah, you can have a passion. You have a passion for something, it gives you a strength right there. You have a passion to know God, serve God, and just walk with Him. There's a strength that comes. People have a passion to go fishing. They'll get up at 4 a.m. and hike down along Muddy Creek or whatever and stand out there. Yeah, you'll have a strength there. But then also there's a strength that's going to come because we have a sense of responsibility. I was starting to say bailing water. So here we were, and yeah, I hadn't been asleep, you know, Nigerian time and not sleeping much and all that. And so here, right after Bible class, Wednesday. I don't even know what day it is. Wednesday, and she calls, water coming in. You got to get home right away. So I get home. We're bailing water at 4:30 in the morning. When I say bailing, I mean, I put a pump in, okay, but it was coming around. It was coming in too fast. There was a hole behind, you know, some framing and stuff. I couldn't get to it. I'm going to have to rip stuff out. And, man, I was tired. You know, I had a shop vac, and she had one of those Bissell things. We're just sucking up water. I'm carrying probably about 8 gallons of water out every few minutes. You know, throwing it out. And, man, I was getting tired. And we had school that day. I think I was up at 3:30 prior to that, you know, going all day. I was tired. And every now and then she'd ask, is it slowing down, the rain? Nope. Nope. We just kept bailing. Just kept taking up water. Just kept bailing. And I was proud of her because, you know, some women would just start crying or something. Woo! And she stayed right beside me. And at times, I know both of us felt like just, let's just go to bed and let, you know, we'll pump it out tomorrow. You know? Just open a basement door and let it just go right on through. But we were trying to, you know, save our stuff. And because I wouldn't stop, she wouldn't stop. Because she wouldn't stop, I wouldn't stop. And I told her, Don, just take a break. No. And, you know, here I am, the man, just like, man, I'm getting inspired, you know. My wife's standing by me like that, and I know it's, she's hurting and everything else. And but I'm sharing it with you for a reason. When you're hooked up with somebody else, there's a sense of responsibility. You can't let them down. You don't give yourself a choice. Had I given myself a choice to my flesh, I'd have gone to bed and say, forget about it. One couple times, she said, why don't we just go to bed and just forget about it? I said, no, we can't. Just kept on bailing. Come back through, taking water out. Is it slowing down yet? Nope. I'm thinking, Jesus, how long is this going to last, you know? And I knew I couldn't let myself think that way anymore. Because then you're creating your own limit. You'll see, I'll go this far. God, give me the strength. Give me the strength. So finally, 4:15, I'm watching the clock, you know. There's no more rain coming down. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But, you know, as you're connected with some other people, you demand of yourself to be strong. Maybe some of you'd have a better story than that to illustrate the point. Okay? But that's fresh for me. Just so happened, next Bible class is teaching in Genesis, and message in lines, guess what it was? Noah and the flood, man. So I had like really deep revelation, you know, the power of water to destroy. Amen. Yeah, God has a sense of humor. And sometimes you got to humor yourself in that. My wife took a little break, gets on Facebook, puts something funny on there. I said, you cheer those other people up, Donna. That's just how she is, you know. You cheer everybody up. You'd say something to humor somebody else. Yeah, we'll humor ourselves. And but here is the thing. There was a certain point, you know, tears started to come to her eye. And I knew she's thinking, my studio, she works out of there. And I said, Donna, we'll make it better than before. That's a God attitude. Don't think about what you're losing. We'll get nicer carpet than you had in there. How's that? Well, we don't have any money. So? God will bless us. And I don't have no confidence I'm getting anything out of the insurance company. I mean, it's not even a thought. It's like, God, you're going to provide me some more carpet. And if they want to chip in, that's fine with me. I won't turn them down. But I'm not counting on no insurance company. But that was... You know, the only thing I could say to her is, we'll make it better. And there's times, some things, you feel a loss. And a God attitude says, God, we're going to turn this around for something better. You have a, you know, the word come, you're getting laid off, you're losing your job. Believe God for a better one. Don't limit yourself. Well, I hope I can get one like that again somewhere. Let's believe God for a better job. And if the devil had anything to do with it, he's going to think twice about messing with you again. Pardon my improper use of the English language there, but it just sounds better to me, okay, messing with you. But no, that's a kind of attitude, that God takes that which was meant for evil and turn it for good. If we'll give something to him, his glory can come out. He isn't the cause. He isn't the author of the problem. But that which, whether it's circumstance, caused by man, caused by devil, doesn't make any difference. So we can give it to him and turn it around. And that's the kind of attitude we need to have. I mean, I wasn't dancing in the rain or saying, yippee, you know. But rather, okay, this is the way it is. No shedding tears about this. We're just going to believe God for a nicer carpet than you had before. That's it. Case closed. So we're back to bailing. You know, sometimes you have people helping you. You have to stop a second and encourage them. Because I didn't really want her just getting frustrated because she's helping, you know, to get up some of this water. So I got to keep her strong. Well, if I wouldn't have had a right attitude, we'd probably have, you know, both sit down and, me, we lost, you know. But no. Okay, sometimes we have to encourage one another. Sometimes, for whatever reason, you might be starting to get down. We need to encourage one another. But it is more incumbent upon the man being the head of the house, which we all, preacher, brother, head of the house, to take the leadership. And whether your wife ministers to you or not, you need to make sure you're going to be the leader in that regard to bring strength. That being said, don't try and get your woman to be a man. Okay? They're naturally more emotional. And be strong, woman. You know, and she, be sensitive, you unsensitive creep. You know. No, you just impart the strength. In fact, if you just carry it, that helps her just to rise to a higher level. And children as well. Okay, when you have a God attitude, stay strong in the Word. I want to go to a third point. Let's go to Luke 22. I love Luke 22. I love every chapter of the Bible. I remember we had our first group of Bible school students, and you know, the guys, you know, shared, and the one brother said, you know, he'd hear me start a new course. Oh, I love this chapter, this book of the Bible. I mean, I just love this. And he realized I said about everything I taught. But it's because it's a word. You know, we need to love all the Bible. Jesus is on every page. Well, Luke 22, Jesus is facing his death, sin being put upon him, and all the ramifications of that. And he separates himself to pray, and he says to his disciples, verse 40, pray that you enter not into temptation. Pray so you're not tempted in the day of adversity. Pray so that in the time when pressure comes, you'll be strong. Not pray, God, keep me out of temptation. That's not reality. Temptation's all around. It's always there. Again, that's the escapist mentality. God, keep me from ever feeling tempted again. Go to heaven. But pray so that you don't enter in, because the day of pressure was upon them, a day of adversity, when the Christ is going to be offered up. And here these guys that are following him are seeing everything go down the proverbial toilet. They longed for, they dreamed of the being with the Messiah, and here he is. And they're a part of it, and the miracles and all this that was happening. And it's all going down the toilet. Sometimes you may hit a spot like that in your life where it seems like everything you were working for, building, whether it was relationally or materially or whatever, is just crumbling around you. Pray that you enter not into temptation. You know, here we are getting a little water in our house, and there's people, their house is getting wiped out. You know, Mike and Kathy Dacey's, you know, many of you know, some of you don't, lived down in Houston a few years ago. They lost everything when that hurricane went through there. He told me he got his best guitar and got in a car, and off they went. Everything was gone. I mean, it's all gone. Some people, I mean, you had your house go up in flames one time and you lost most everything. And I haven't experienced that. You could shed light in conversation of what you feel when something like that happens. I don't know. I mean, I can't imagine, you know, what in your mind and what you feel emotionally at that point. when we don't really have a choice. I mean, we can be strong or lose it. I guess that's the only options. Were there any other ones, Joe? Better than before. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. Ah, yeah. Amen. That's great, Joe. Many times people do have fears like, what if, what if? I remember Janet used to say, don't let the what ifs march. I used to assume she got that off that Fantasia movie. You know, like the old, is that where she got that from? I bet she did. You know, they tried to attack the, kill the broomsticks and they kept multiplying or whatever. I don't even remember. Some, you know, Walt Disney was on LSD when he did that, I think. I'm serious. I think he was. But anyway, sometimes people fear losing. What if all your investments, you know, go down the toilet? God's still Jehovah Jireh. What if, you know, you hurt your back, you couldn't work? What if, what if, what if? That'll destroy you if you let that in there. We need to just continue to speak the word of God and be strong. And we need to maintain our prayer life because things like that can happen in our lives. You can feel devastated or alone or whatever. And we need to stay strong because we are very vulnerable then. And the devil has no mercy. He's going to jump on you when you're down with both feet, try and finish you off. And sometimes in times like that, it's because our brothers and sisters are praying for us, and you don't have any strength. You're shell-shocked, you know. You're in a daze. Did you ever watch Saving Private Ryan? Tom Hanks is in Normandy Beach. He's going around, can't even hear nothing. I guess this, you know, his bomb went off beside him. Shell-shock. Sometimes people are like that in the spirit. It may just be because they're connected to a body, to a people who have a sensitivity in the spirit. God's saying, pray for Brother Steve right now. Now, sometimes we know, and, you know, Rowie, you know, like so-and-so, you'll hold them up. And sometimes nobody knows you're in a fight or in a battle. We won't know till we get to heaven. I'll assume we'll know then. It's just an assumption. People were praying for us. Help holding us up in our time of crisis. Don't ever think it can't be you. Because if we think like that, we're deceived. Your pressures will come. But we don't have to fear it. We don't have to fear it. Pray. We maintain that prayer life, releasing our faith, releasing energy in the spirit, releasing the power of God. Very, very important. Let's go back a few verses. Luke 18, verses, a couple chapters. Luke 18, he says, verse 1, I spake a parable to them to this end, that women ought to always pray and not to faint. What's the matter? Doesn't your Bible say that? That men ought to always pray and not to faint. We need to continue to be aggressive in prayer and take our place as leaders in the home, keeping a wall of protection, taking authority over the devil, believing God. Say if it's financial, keep speaking faith. Continue to pray. Continue to speak faith. Your wife, you're married, needs you in that respect. Wants you to take your place there. Men ought always to pray. And this is one of the first areas to go. When you get too busy, this probably Probably the first thing we'll go, three main areas. People get too busy. Talking about spiritual men here. Prayer, family, and things relative to taking care of their health. Those are three things that people will sacrifice first to do the stuff they think they need to do. If you are sacrificing any of them, you need to change what you're doing with your time. Well, I need the money. Not any more than you need this. Not any more than you need to communicate with your wife or children. Not any more than you need to take care of your physical body. Money won't do you any. Well, you'll just be paying doctor bills. Man ought always to pray. So he gives the parable. And the parable is the unjust judge. And this widow woman kept coming after him, pestering him, till he finally takes care of the problem. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge says. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night to him, though he bear long with them? In other words, God's not like that. All you have to do is ask. Just come to him in faith. He's not like that. You don't pester him like a kid who wants a toy or something. It's how he's not. But verse 8, he says, I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? Now, you can read that and think of when the Lord returns, will he find people praying? How about this? If the Lord just walked into your room, your bedroom, or where you're, wherever, your study, or wherever you, would he catch you praying ever? What do you do in secret? You know, if I just popped in unannounced to visit you, what would I find you doing? That's why I don't do that. I don't want to know. I'm believing the best about my brother. Now, that's not culturally kosher in our country. You know, just to come in unannounced. Some places it's the protocol, but it's not here. But anyway, will the Lord find you praying if he were just to show up? Of course, he's there all the time anyway. I mean, he sees it all, knows it all. But it's just like a thought here. Will he find faith? If we have faith, we're going to pray. If we're not praying, it may be. Now, it can be various reasons, but it may be. We're not keeping strong in faith. We're not really expecting he answers anyway. So you won't keep praying if you don't expect he's going to hear you. I mean, your kids will stop pestering if you know you're not going to get it anyway. You're not really paying attention to them whining. You're not getting that toy. So forget it. I can't wear dad that. I'll work on mom. Will he find faith on the earth? Will faith be released in prayer? And I want to share something with you. And you probably heard me say it before. But the times we're in. Now, I've been in ministry 30 years. And was born again some before that. But in my observation of history, I see less commitment to prayer than I did 30 years ago and 25 years ago in the body of Christ. Now, I'm not like just thinking of any of you. I'm talking about in the body of Christ. There is a weaker commitment. Now, there's people that pray. I'm speaking of a bigger scope here. I'm talking, you know, the body, larger degree. There is less commitment to that. Now, you know, you don't create more of that by ranting and railing or any of that kind of stuff. That has to come by the Holy Ghost. Exactly, Phil. People yearn for, oh, they want to see this and that move, and you listen to the old timers. Got to learn to listen to the old timers. And I would always hear how they prayed all night. Of course, they didn't have as many distractions. I mean, when I was a kid, you got 2.5 channels in the snow. You know, stores weren't even open on Sunday when I was a kid. And some of you that are senior to me could, I kind of get, you know, as I'm getting a little older, I like in the old days stuff. Even as a kid, I used to hear people, yeah, I remember bread was a nickel, you know. It just struck me funny as a kid to hear. Now I'm saying stuff like, yeah, back BC, before computers. I mean, that was really the old days. Before cell phones. Before you're dating yourself now, Pop. I mean, you're going way back before me. Before television. When was that? 1935? What was that? Yeah.
The first time I served was 1939.
Wow.
Only one person in the whole neighborhood had one.
Wow.
My brother-in-law's father.
Did they charge admission to come in and see it? That's what a good entrepreneur or capitalist would do. You got the only TV on the block. 5 cents will let you come in for 5 minutes. But that's something. I mean, a lot of young people are like, what are you talking about? What planet are you from? The same one you're on just a few years ago. And the reason the commitment to prayer becomes weak, or one reason, I won't say the only reason, there's not much in it just for you. From praying for other people. It's a labor of love. You don't come to prayer meeting and get your goosebumps or get your whatever. That's not happening there. I mean, it could, but it's a labor of love, a labor of love, a labor of love. You are sacrificing time, which is a precious commodity, for someone else by faith, believing for the Holy Spirit to minister to them. They still have the option whether they want to even respond. We're not imposing our will, we're imposing God's will. God doesn't impose his, so we can't will it to be either. But we pray and release the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Prayer doesn't change anything, the Holy Ghost does. Prayer just releases him to do his thing. And if someone will believe and respond, then he can do his thing in their life. But he will convict their heart. He will reveal Christ. He will put a choice before them, life or death, and he'll tell them the right answer. Choose life. It's the kind of test I like to take. I get the answer before I have to answer. Amen. Will God find faith? Will he find men praying? And it's too easy in our society. We're becoming a people of trying to find a shortcut, an easy way. And there's some things in life. Praise God for labor-saving devices. Praise God for washing machines, that we're not out beating our clothes on a rock. Praise God for cars that I can get somewhere quicker than walking. It's kind of funny, though. We'll ride around a block in a car and pay money to go to a gym and run miles on a treadmill. I think that's just funny. That's funny. Yeah. Well, we need to be willing to give up some time to do what we need to do. Because a lot of times, bottom line, it's just we want to do something else. And it's so easy. Everybody justifies it in their mind. Well, I need to do this because blah, 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 blah. And what I really need is just to obey God. And there's times I chill out, and there's times I watch a football game because I am purposing in my mind, it's time to chill out. I don't want to have to, you know, no more demand up here. I'll yell and scream at the ball game instead of Obama on TV, you know. But, yeah, I'm not saying you can't enjoy some things or have some fun. Yeah, there's a place for that. But what happens, what is taking place in our countries, people are obsessing over the pleasure, obsessing over the leisure, and not doing what they need to do in spirit. And there is a weakening happening. And you might get away with it for a while, but when the circumstance hits you, when pressure comes, when adversity comes, you won't get away with it. We've got to stay strong. We're living in tough times. You personally might be going through some tough times. We need to stay strong. Keep a God attitude and pray. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray the Word of God. Very, very important. Sometimes we do need to reconsecrate ourselves to God, possibly Himself, but also to His will. And I'm not one to want to try and make people do that. It has to come out of your own conviction. I don't believe in emotional manipulation or manipulation of any sort. I hate it. It has to come from conviction, because that's the only kind of thing you'll follow through with. Your conviction about, yes, I must do this. A lot of times people are told, lose weight or you're going to die younger. And they never do it until they get to that point where, I must do this. I can't do these things I need to do anymore. I've let it go too long. And you get to that place, you just put your foot down and make a quality decision. I'm going to do this. I'm going to commit on this path. And that only comes by a conviction of the Holy Ghost. And I refuse to try to generate something like that or do anything. Either God does it in you or it's not real. If God does it, it will produce. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I just pray for the Holy Spirit's ministry, Lord, to challenge our hearts and stir us. May conviction power fall upon our heart this moment, Lord, that we make a quality decision, whatever it would be, Lord, to persevere, press on, to do that which we know we need to in order to live for you. I thank you, Lord. Your Holy Spirit has begun a work in each one of us, and it will continue in Jesus' name. It will continue. Hallelujah. Father, we yield our heart to you now. We look to you, Lord, to do your work and for strength to be imparted tonight. And Father, may vision rise to a higher level of being a strong man of God. Vision that would come, Lord, as we behold your strength to say we want to be like that too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Father, we thank you that this 24-hour period where we're here, you'll do a work in us and it shall be strong. We shall leave stronger than before. Hallelujah. Amen. When I was riding up here, I was praying. I rode up by myself, just having fun. Started coming across the turnpike, and I was just praying. I thought, did I pass Carlisle? I don't even know. I mean, I forgot to watch, you know. And I saw a sign. I was like, oh, yeah, I didn't miss it yet. But because I'll get an autopilot sometimes. I'll be like, oblivious. She was like, oh, yeah, you're supposed to turn 5 miles back here. But anyway, I felt impressed that, oh, if we could hear Janie Grind's song Stronger Than Before. Praise God for technology. I come up here. And back in the old days, I would have had to call somebody before they left the house. Do you have that CD? Bring the tape, you know. Bring the old tape and try and scramble, you know. And so I just said to Jared, well, can you download that? You know, let's just pull it out of the airwaves, you know, bring it in here. That's awesome. So he's able to do that. And Janie was a powerful woman of God. She went to be with the Lord, what was it, about 6 weeks ago, Dale? And but she did this song, Stronger Than Before. And I remember talking to her back then that came to her right before 9/11, or she recorded it right before, and she went up to the site. You know, a lot of people were doing that and was just ministering music to encourage those people, because you had people in the aftermath, I mean the firefighters, the guys cleaning up and all that, and she felt that was a prophetic word to them to be stronger than before. Which that applies to us personally. Of course, you all realize, unless you're living in a cave, that Sunday is the 10th anniversary of that. Not that we're celebrating anything, but you need to remember you know, certain times and so forth, lest you forget and fall into the same mistakes. But it just came to me. And after, I was up here, I thought, oh, yeah, she went and took that there. And the prophetic word was, okay, that was a tragedy. But Christ is a healer. And we're going to come out of this stronger than before. Now, that we need to receive for ourselves and have the mindset that no matter what I can't go through, I'm going to come out stronger than before. Because adversity can work for you or can work against you. Let's let it work for us. Let's come out stronger than before. Maybe you're dealing with something now. Have that kind of mindset. I'm going through this. And I'm going to be stronger than before. Sometimes we can just kind of, we just get tired, weary. That's why Jesus said that parable, which you don't get weary, stop praying. I was weary the other night. My muscles were aching. When I got out of bed, when I did finally get to sleep, man, I was so stiff today. I was stiff from every muscle from here on down, you're bending over and doing this stuff for hours, weight and water and stuff. And I'm not used to doing that. If you do it all the time, no big deal. But you can get weary. I was tired, but I couldn't quit. My wife was working right alongside of me. How can you quit? If you're a man, your woman's beside you still pushing on you, and you're stronger than she is. And I know she wanted to quit, but she couldn't quit on, with me doing it. Again, I'm bringing that up again to remind you, when we connect together as a body, that effect should be there. We're going to persevere because our brother's beside us. He needs us. Your wife, you have children. Quit's not a choice. They need you. The world needs us. Who's going to take the gospel to them but us? Well, as we're moving through things, let's have that mindset. We will be stronger than before. And that kind of mindset, what difference does it make what comes against us? I'm just going to come out the other side and be stronger than before. We ready to roll? Yes.